Tonight is a very special service. We gather each Sunday evening to hear preaching of the Word of God, sing praises to God together, but this Sunday evening service has been set aside as an ordination service. To ordain means to set apart or to establish. Many times that word is used in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, meaning it's something in the context that God ordained, that is, He established, He directed it to be so. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 14, it says that they ordained elders in every city, speaking of Paul on the missionary journey, and that word is a combination word that means, ordain means to put the hands upon. And ordination in the context of the local church is in at the end of the service, we'll lay hands upon the man who's to be ordained this evening. It's our recognition of God's call on a man's life. And that is our sending of him to the work God's called him to do. Tonight is our ordination service for Brother Thomas Engel. And we're glad that his mom Arlene and her husband Gator could be here for this special evening. Thank you very much for being here this evening. As we get ready to move into the message this evening, I'm going to ask Tom and Sarah if you would come and make your way down to the front. And we'll get into the Word of God here in just a moment. It is sometimes customary at an ordination service to have two messages, a charge to the candidate and a charge to the church. We'll have one message this evening, but I believe that means I get twice as long to preach. That's what that means. So, this is a very special time, and we're asking the Lord to bless it in a special way. Thomas has yesterday submitted himself to the examination by the men appointed by Maranatha Baptist Church to a thorough examination of his doctrines and also philosophy of ministry. That is, how do you put those things into practice? The committee unanimously recommended that we move ahead and ordain him, as had been approved in a business meeting prior. And so we're going to go ahead with that, and we're going to open the service at this time with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this special evening. And Lord, we thank you that you have ordained that these events would come together as they have. So Lord, now we acknowledge that we're dependent on you. We need your help. We can't accomplish anything without you. Lord, we pray that this would be a special evening for Thomas and for Sarah. And Lord, we pray that only what you want said would be said. What you want left unsaid would be left out. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we'll be. I found out this afternoon that I guess that's where Pastor Camp preached from 2 Timothy chapter 4 last week for Brother Boylston's ordination. I didn't listen to the message, didn't have time. But I don't know what he said, but I promise you whatever I had to say will be different. I'm not he, and it's unwise to try to be so. That is one of the things that the men yesterday, in just giving some practical bits of advice to Thomas at the end of our time together, one of the things that he was told was to be yourself. That's not a stubborn refusal to change and say, well, that's just who I am. But that is, acknowledge and accept how God's gifted you, how God arranged your upbringing, your background, your life experience, and work those things into your ministry as best you can. The worst mistake that any preacher, young or old, can make, or one of the worst mistakes they can make, is to try to be somebody else. You gave testimony yesterday that you feel very plainly that God has directed you to a ministry of evangelism. But God wants Thomas Engel to be Thomas Engel, the evangelist. The worst thing in the world you can do is to try to imitate, in every sense, some other evangelist that you admire. Now, we can learn from them. We can certainly draw from their best qualities. But God made you Thomas Engel and gifted you in a certain way. And that's the ministry that you're to fulfill. I'm going to do my best this evening to preach to you from the Word of God on this subject from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. My points are simple. I have 2 points. Charge to the preacher and a charge to the church. If you can't follow that outline, I don't know how to help you any more than that, okay? I'll do my best to combine those elements. But let's read verses 1 through 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. I charge thee, therefore, before God. Of course, the context here, this is the Apostle Paul charging Timothy. Timothy, the young man he referred to as his son in the faith. The young man in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says, I left you in Ephesus to do the work. Timothy was like a son to Paul. He traveled with him. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Paul said Timothy had fully known. He was 100% aware and had participated completely in Paul's ministry. That is, he'd been trained, he'd been mentored. And then Paul said, okay, you're ready for this ministry on your own. That is an aspect of what we're doing here this evening. Thomas is launching out into the ministry of evangelism that we'll get into a little bit more here in a minute. And he has the sufficient preparation and background to launch into that ministry. But Paul here is talking to his preacher boy when he says, I charge thee, Timothy, application to all preachers, young and old. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Here in verse number 5, where we draw our text, our title and our text, do the work of an evangelist. Here in these 5 verses, we have incorporated both words that are used in the New Testament for preach or preacher or preach the gospel. The first word is found in verse number 2, where Paul admonishes Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Thomas got a test on that one already this morning, didn't he? Did he share with you the story of how he found out he was on for this morning? So you passed the test, Thomas. Congratulations. But the word here in verse number 2, preach the word. The word means to proclaim or to publish, to proclaim as a herald. The verb form that's the verb form. The noun form is translated preacher. The herald, the one who performs that action. Okay? This word referred to a herald or a messenger vested with public authority who conveyed the official messages of kings, magistrates, princes, military commanders, or who gave a public summons. So to be the messenger, to proclaim or to preach, is to give the message, to be a herald. It also refers to gravity and an authority which must be listened to and obeyed. Thomas, as you preach the word, preach with gravity. That is a serious-mindedness. Those of us who've had the privilege of observing your ministry have observed a serious-mindedness, particularly when it comes to studying the Word of God. One of the admonitions repeated over and over again in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus to young preachers is this matter of being grave or being sober. That sobriety, that serious-mindedness is necessary to be a preacher of the Word of God and an evangelist in particular. Be sober-minded. Preach the Word with a gravity and with an authority that must be listened to and obeyed. The authority does not come from personality or from experience. The authority rather comes from the Word of God. Your authority to preach, to be a preacher, to be a herald, comes from the Word of God. In Matthew and also in Luke, this same word is used. Matthew 10:27, Jesus says, what you hear in the ear, preach from the housetops. That gives a little bit of insight into the meaning of this word. That is, it's to be proclaimed. It's to be proclaimed boldly. It's to be proclaimed for all to hear, not as opposed to a word spoken quietly in the corner. Now, in Galatians, Paul said there was occasion where he communicated the gospel privately to those that were of reputation. And there's a time for that. But the primary work of the preacher is to proclaim the word of God publicly. And without apology, with boldness, and with the authority that comes from God and His Word. Romans 10:14, the noun form says, "And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Verse number 15, this is a necessary element of folks being saved, is that there is a preacher to tell them. And so we have the word preach in verse number 2, preach the words, to herald or proclaim or to publish. In verse number 5, we have the word evangelist, do the work of an evangelist. That's the noun form. The verb form of that word is used over and over again. And most often that one word, evangelist, is the noun. The verb, if we took it straight into English, would basically come out evangelize. It means to proclaim the good news, to proclaim good tidings. And in Luke chapter 2, when the angels appeared to the shepherds, it said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." That phrase, "bring you good tidings," is this word, evangelize. However, after the ministry of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the publishing of good tidings became synonymous with the proclaiming of the best news that any man could hear. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Christ died, buried, and rose again. And that if for those who would accept by faith that that was God's plan for payment for sin, then they could all be saved. That is, Christ died as a substitute. As Miss Betty explained before, she sang, Christ was the fulfill the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist said, who taketh away the sin of the world. He came for the purpose of dying and taking our sin upon Himself. And then He offered freely the salvation that He had purchased to anyone who would accept that by faith. To preach the gospel, to preach the good news, became synonymous with to preach the best news. That is, Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And if you'll believe on Christ, you can be saved too. That is the message of the gospel. And so both terms here are used in this passage, both to proclaim as a herald and more specifically to preach the gospel. This term to evangelize is also used in other contexts. It's to preach Christ, to preach the kingdom of God several times in the Gospels, and even to preach Jesus. But the preaching of the good news has an object. Preach the word, preach Jesus, and so forth. These two terms are used well over 120 times. I printed them out. I wasn't thinking about the fact that I'd have two messages worth of time. I could read all these to you, I guess, but you'll have to take my word for it on that. But those terms occur well over 120 times in the Scriptures. It's a significant aspect of the New Testament, the preaching of the Word of God, the preaching of the gospel. So we have here preaching. What is preaching? Then we're going to move on to the preacher. Specifically here tonight, we're talking about an evangelist. The word evangelist is used three times in your New Testament. That one's a lot easier to keep track of. Three times. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, where Timothy is told to do the work of an evangelist. We also find that in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10 says that when Christ ascended, He gave gifts. He says He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And the next verse tells the purpose of those gifts. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Those gifts, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, were given to the church. to help equip the church, and the church, that's you and me, we are to do the work of the ministry. Okay? Though the evangelists and the pastors and teachers help to equip us to do that. But again, the evangelist is a gift to the church. And then the other term evangelist, the other time evangelist is used in Acts chapter 21. Acts 21 verse 8, it says, "Then we that were of Paul's company lodged with Philip the evangelist." All right, that's all we get. We have to go back to and study the life of Philip to find out a little bit more about the ministry of an evangelist. Acts chapter 8 tells us that Philip, as an evangelist, preached from place to place. He preached and had thousands saved, and then God sent him way out on the backside of a desert somewhere to preach to one eunuch from Ethiopia who was seeking God. And then, when he got done preaching to him, it says he preached in all the cities round about until he worked his way back home. Philip, the evangelist, preached to one, he preached to thousands, and he preached to everything in between. He had a bit of an itinerant ministry, that is, a ministry of moving from place to place. But an evangelist has a specific ministry. Built into the name is the idea that an evangelist will focus on the gospel, the good news. Evangelists will focus on proclaiming the gospel to those who have heard or to those who have not heard. That is not to say that they have a market on it. In fact, I read some men who say that Timothy was an evangelist. I totally disagree. Paul left him in Ephesus to pastor that church. And Paul said, "Look, I left you there to set these things in order." And he mentioned later on how he had helped men that came through Ephesus and so forth. Timothy was there to pastor the church at Ephesus and to help establish bishops in other places. And even Timothy was told there was a time for him to do the work of an evangelist. That was a part-time thing. Timothy, or the pastor, doing the work of an evangelist for a period of time does not replace a vocational evangelist. That is, pastors have not replaced the need for an evangelist, nor is an evangelist a missionary or church planter, although they may be involved in different aspects of those ministries. An evangelist is a preacher who assists in the ministry of the local church in sometimes staying in a place sometimes longer than others, but generally in an itinerant fashion. The evangelist, that is a description of his work. Now, that's all introduction. All right? Or introduction to the charge to the preacher. Now I'm going to give you some points here. Let's look at the character of the minister. I should say the character of the evangelist, but I needed M's for my outline, okay? The character of the minister. Look at Acts 21 with me if you're not there already. Acts chapter 21. I think this is important. Acts chapter 21 verse 8. I paraphrased that already. Let's read it together. "And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered in the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him." Did you catch the phrase there towards the end of the verse? One of the seven. "Entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven." Who were the seven? Acts chapter 6 tells us who the seven were and what their purpose was. Acts chapter 6 says, "In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12, that's the apostles, called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men," here's the seven, "of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And verse 5, "The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch." Philip was one of the seven, meaning he was one of the original deacons. It just so happens that Thomas is one of our deacons here at Maranatha Baptist Church as well, but that's not the point that I'm trying to make. The point that I'm trying to make is this: the character of the messenger, an evangelist, Here, Philip the evangelist was chosen as a deacon. I believe that evangelist as an officer, as an office in the church, if you will, a gift to the church, should meet the same criteria that a pastor and deacon should meet for qualifications. There's a common philosophy that, well, he's not qualified to be a pastor, but he can be an evangelist. I'm not against men serving the Lord in any way that they can be, but I think that diminishes the importance and the sacredness of the work of the evangelist. The evangelist is to be a man of God, to have the same type of qualifications that a bishop or a deacon would have. What are those? Back to 1 Timothy. If the preaching can't keep you awake, maybe turning pages will, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll bounce around here a little bit this evening. This is a true saying, 1 Timothy 3 verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man knows